Welcome back to the Dependency and Decaf podcast. I am Lillian Ketchum, and I am the host of this podcast, and let's just get right into this week's episode.
If you're new here, I start every episode by talking about my favorite recent coffee drink, and recently I have been loving a good lavender latte. I like the house-made lavender syrup. That's what you gotta try. So that's my recommendation. I'm gonna have our silly little guest share her favorite recent drink, and then we will introduce her and get started.
Well, my favorite little silly drink is, over these last couple of months, I've been trying to force myself to like matcha. I'm sorry, I just simply do not. I'm trying so bad. I want caffeine that isn't always coffee, but the other day, I got a blueberry matcha. 10 out of 10. Tastes like Fruity Pebbles. Awesome. Do I like the taste of matcha? No. Do I like the taste of Fruity Pebbles? Yes.
Yes. Wow. So for the people out there who don't like matcha, they have to try blueberry matcha.
Yes. Cover it up. Hide it.
I'm just going to have the special guest introduce herself, and then we'll get right into it.
Well, my name is Kaylee. I'm Lily's roommate.
Yes, she is.
I just graduated from North Central University with a degree in Bible and theology. And literally tomorrow, I am headed home back to the East Coast. I'm going to hang out with my parents for a month, and then I'm moving to New Jersey, where I am going to be getting my master's at Princeton Seminary.
Also, I just want to acknowledge that I have been wanting to have her on the podcast for maybe the whole time we've lived together, and we've lived together for almost a year now.
Yeah.
And she leaves tomorrow, so
we did it.
If you saw the title of today's episode, we wanted to do an episode that was more catered to the college student, hence, you know, me being a college student and Kaylee just finishing college. We've had a lot of conversations where we're like, we're for the girlies, you know, we're out here, we're like, man, there's so many girls that just don't get it. And we feel like, you know, combined, we pretty much experience every possible thing you could experience in college. So we just wanted to have a little silly conversation and give some college advice. So, Kaylee, why don't you start us off by telling us what you feel like your biggest challenge in college was.
Ooh, that is a great question. You know, I would say I think finding balance, which is sounds so generic in general. But I've always been someone that's like wanting to be super involved, always really cared about my grades, all these things. And I think what ended up becoming the most difficult part is having all those desires, wanting to do all of these things, but then never really giving myself space. And then when certain situations like arose over the last couple years, especially with maybe stuff back home, I think the biggest challenge was learning how to make space that I could take care of myself. And I remember even having conversations with like staff members that didn't understand why I was saying no to certain opportunities. And it was because finally, by some point in my junior year, I started to figure out that like I had to start saying no to good things because I needed time to be able to heal and do what was right for my own individual life, not just what people were seeing me do on the outside. But that has been my struggle since I was like 14 years old, is being able to create space where I can still exist as a person and not get caught up in the go, go, go and doing. It's a work in progress, but I'm a lot better at it now than I was when I first came to college.
Yeah. I definitely think I struggle with that a lot too, because I feel like so many people are like, oh my gosh, you have to like really enjoy your college years, like soak it all up. It's going to go by so fast. So I kind of took that as like, perfect. I'm going to do literally everything, which is great. That's a great attitude to have, you know, go out there, get it done. But at the same time, like you have to prioritize yourself and rest. And it took me a long time to be able to say no to things to actually take care of myself and get more than like maybe 2 hours of sleep a night. I definitely still struggle with that. But I think my biggest challenge in college was like prioritizing time with God, honestly, because it was like the biggest adjustment that I had ever experienced. But then also it just gets so busy so fast and you're meeting all these new people and you want to just do things all the time, which is great, but I had a really hard time prioritizing getting up earlier in the morning to spend time with the Lord. And I definitely saw the effects of that for a while until that became a true, like, priority in my life. But yeah, I would say that was probably my biggest thing. And just the adjustment of being at college and, like, moving away from home for the first time. And, like, having the friends that you make at college become your family was, like... That was weird at first. I was like, oh, so I just live with people that I never met, and then they become the people that I eat dinner with every day? Like, okay, cool.
Right.
Awesome. If you could give yourself advice to your freshman year self, what would you say?
Yeah, I think it would kind of go with what I was saying with what the hardest part was. I think I would tell myself to just be easier on myself. I am my biggest critic. I am my biggest villain. If there's someone to rip me apart, it's myself. And I think coming into college, I was coming in with a not, like, super healthy mindset when it came to my relationship with, like, accomplishments and appearance and how people perceived me. Like, that was just so important. And I let that kind of become the voice in my head that was driving me and what I was doing. And the Lord is still faithful to, like, redeem all of these good things I was doing. Even if there were parts of my motive that weren't honoring him, he still will redeem that and use that and all of it. But I think I would just tell my younger self of, like, it's okay to mess up. And I think that's what I've learned a lot throughout college, is for every success and win that I've had, there's probably double, triple as many no's and closed doors. And I think I had to learn over the last 4 years that it's okay if you get no, like, go easy on yourself. That's a part of life, and you actually grow so much more from that experience than if every door just opened up for you. And I think the Lord teaches us so much in the no, and when the door shuts and when we don't get it because it seemed like such a good thing and we thought we were supposed to have it. And yet when that door shuts, it also reminds us that maybe we were thinking that was where our fulfillment would come from, right, and forgetting that it would come, number one, from the Lord and whatever his plan is for us, not the plan we create in our mind. But I think little 18-year-old Kaylee, when she moved here, just needed someone to be like, hey, go easy on yourself. You don't need to prove yourself. And I think that's kind of the posture that now I've taken, and as I'm heading into my master's, is I don't have to prove anything to anyone, but I do have a responsibility to be a lifelong learner of both scripture, of the Lord, and of people. Like, there's so much to learn about people. I don't need to prove anything to you, but I have everything to learn from you and your story and all of that. And I think I'm now coming out and into the next stage with a much better relationship with myself and with the Lord. And part of that is God's shown me grace, and I need to learn to show myself grace.
Yeah. Something that I think a lot of people struggle with when they first come to college is the idea of having to prove themselves and look a certain way and act a certain way. Because I definitely really struggle with that too. So, like, what was something that you, like, learned or did to kind of get yourself out of that? Or, like, something that the Lord taught you to get you where you are now?
Yeah, I think kind of some, like, a big moment that sticks out in my head is during my junior year. So I was heavily involved on campus. I was student body vice president. I was doing it all, and I was in all the classes, and I'm working, and I'm volunteering at church and all those things. Very, very involved. And I think when the Lord kind of started to break the, like, proving mindset, was I, for the longest time, was planning that I was going to run, be student body president my senior year. That was my plan since I was, like, a freshman. It was always, like, senior year, I want to be class president. Like, that was the goal. And I was just, like, sticking to that plan. I was holding on to that plan. And then I was home for Christmas break. It was not a great experience, and a lot happened. To the point that I realized I had to make changes in my life, because, like I hinted at with the first thing I was talking about, of, like, just giving yourself space to also be a person and not just someone who produces, was I got pulled. A staff member pulled me in their office, and they were like, why on earth aren't you going to run for president? Like, do you think you can't do it? You can do it. And I remember having to tell them, be like, no, like, I know I could do it, and I believe in myself. But I'm finally at a point where I know that I don't have to prove that to anyone else. I know that. The Lord knows that. But yet at the same time, I don't have to do that thing just because I could do it. Yeah. And because of certain events that happened when I was home, I ended up in therapy for about a year, which 10 out of 10. Everybody needs a therapist. Don't, if you think for 2 seconds you don't need to go to a therapist, you're lying to yourself. And because you're lying to yourself, you should probably see a therapist because you're lying to yourself. But in therapy, something that really stuck with me is kind of like a one-liner my therapist gave me was all of the things, all of my shoulds. I should run for student body president. I should go to the gym 6 days a week. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. She's like, you need to change all of those to coulds. I could go to the gym 6 days a week, or I don't. I could run for student body president, or I don't have to. And like shifting all of these shoulds, and that was the mindset I lived in, and I still battle with every day, to coulds, and realizing that there's actually very few things in life that have to be shoulds. Most things are actually, you could do that or you could not, and the world still spins and everything keeps going. And once I started to lean into more of that, I started to realize like, oh, there's less things that I actually have to do, acting like the world is resting on my shoulders. And then realizing that, because I started to take my eyes off of myself, I think I've fallen in love with just people so much more over the last, even just year and a half, because I'm so less focused on myself and what am I proving? How am I being perceived? Am I doing enough? Do they like me enough? Blah, 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 all the things. And just being like, I want to know about you, actually. Like, I'm fascinated by you. I'm fascinated by your story, how it's so different from mine, because I don't have this weight on me where even when I'm in a one-on-one conversation, my eyes are still on me and I'm wondering, how are you perceiving me? No, I'm here to listen and learn about you and actually like being way more present in my relationships. But it definitely took some pretty difficult circumstances that would push me to go to therapy and work through that. So it's not a one and done lightning bolt struck moment. It wasn't like the Lord was just like, pink. It was like, no, I had to put in a lot of hard work to get there. And it's still something I have to work at actively every
day. That's a really good perspective. Honestly, that helps me because I feel like I definitely don't struggle with the proving yourself aspect anymore. Because that was something that shifted when like my identity shifted more and more into Christ as I grew closer to the Lord. But I definitely really struggle to be a striver. I'm very like dream oriented. It's just the way the Lord made me. Like it would be like 3 p.m. some random day if I'm not taking a nap, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I should just start writing a book right now, or like I'm gonna start a business and I'll just sit down and do it. But I think with that, I carry the burden sometimes of the fact that I'm not doing enough, and I'm like, oh, like I should be doing all these other things that all these other people my age are doing. I should have been doing my podcast more consistently. I should have been taking care of my body better. I should have been like doing this or doing that or hanging out with people more. And I feel like that's almost where the enemy tries to get us with guilt, mm-hmm. is like thinking that even if we're not trying to work for salvation, like thinking that we just have to work to be something.
Yeah.
But it's like, if your identity is really in Christ, like it really doesn't matter what you do. Like God doesn't necessarily care about what we do as much as we do. And I think that's honestly something that college has taught me, because I'm a very driven person. I have a lot of things that I want to do with my life, and I know that you do too, Kaylee. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a peace that comes when you take your eyes off yourself.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about, like you still have those dreams and you still have those goals and you're still going for them.
Yep.
But there's a peace that comes when that's no longer your main focus. And then you actually are able to produce that work in a healthier and better way,
right.
because you're not looking at it as a striving motive. You're looking at it as an overflow of what you're already loving and already doing and already passionate about.
Right. I would also say to all the girlies out there,
because
I'm guessing it's mostly girlies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, hello to the men. How you doing? But to the girlies, and both men and women struggle with this. But in my experience, I just see it a lot of times for us women, and this is what I also fall into, is feeling like I have to overcompensate because I'm a woman. Because I'm a woman, someone's going to overlook me. For me, I'm 5 feet freaking tall. You literally, legitimately, people look over me because you just don't see me. That's just the truth of it. And so I think for a long time, though, I felt like I need to do more so that I get noticed because I'm this small girl. And I think there's a lot of women that we fall into that trap, and we strive and we're trying to prove, because it's not always this way, okay? I'm not saying that this is how it always is, but a lot of times men will get attention for something before a woman does. And that's kind of, we're definitely, culture is shifting and changing, bringing more awareness and attention. But like historically, that's how it's been. Women have been written out of history textbooks, written out of the stories of, for thousands of years. And we're finally trying to like come back around and be like, hey, no, they've been a part of this and doing amazing things for a long time. But I think there's just this innate feeling, especially when you are an accomplishment-driven woman, that I need to do the absolute most to hopefully get the same amount of credit as some guy who might be only doing half as much as I am. And I just want to free all the women out there from that. Yes. Because that is not what the Lord has for you. Like, you do not have to do everything. You do not have to please everyone. That's a big thing for women. Yeah. Like, be freed from that, because that is not all that the Lord has for you, is to be a servant to everybody else. It's to first be a servant to Him, and then out of that place, with the right motives and the right heart posture, then we can actually be servants to other people, knowing that we're not doing it for some identity that we're trying to earn, because we don't operate for our relationship with God, we operate from our relationship with God. And once we finally get that mindset switched, it's like mind-blowing how much that'll affect the way you live your life, the energy you have. Baby, don't become a doormat for people to walk all over and use you. Don't burn yourself out because you think that you have to do it. Like, the Lord has something for you, and He has something for all of His people. I just want to free all the other girlies out there. Don't overcompensate because you're a woman. It's not a mistake. Live into it. Be freed from the mindset that you have to do it all, because you don't. Right. You need to do what the Lord has for you. Period.
I think going off of that, even though, is like something that I know I struggled with, was feeling like I had to work really hard to earn what God had called me to, and to even like prove to myself and to other people that I could do what God was calling me to. But like, kind of to the point that you were making, something that I've learned is like, you literally don't have the authority or power to add to or to take away what God is calling you to. So if you feel like you're too much, just be too much. Like, be fully yourself. Because Kaylee and I, like, we're those wannabe mysterious girls, but we have a loud laugh. We talk loud. It's never gonna happen. You know, we thought we could do it, and we thought for maybe 2 seconds, and it just did not happen. But you know what? That's how God made us, and that's how He designed us to be. And I think I've noticed so often with people where they're like, oh, like, I can't be an evangelist because I'm shy. But it's like, yeah, but if God's calling you to that, like, He chose to make you that way because He wanted to make you that way, because right. He knew the world needed one of you. He knew that there needed to be shy evangelists for the shy people on the streets that you'd be encountering. The Lord knew that they would need a 5-foot loud, yes, fiery preacher girly, right, to be fully herself. And so often I think people are like looking at how other people are walking out a call that's similar, but it's like, your call is your call. It's not somebody else's. You may be preaching like somebody else is preaching, but that's not the call. Like, the call is the spread of the gospel at the end of the day. Like,
I don't, okay, this is a side tangent, but I get kind of fed up when people are like, you're gonna understand your calling. Like, what's your calling? And they do like altar calls to figure out your calling, which, like, I believe that, like, God gives us specific gifts and specific anointings for certain things to walk out in our life. And I believe that, like, I feel called to certain things in my life. But at the end of the day, everyone shares the same calling, yeah, of going to the nations and sharing the gospel. Yeah. And however God has anointed you to do it, just do it fully. Like, yep, in exactly the way that He made you to be it. And don't compare yourself to how other people are doing it. Because just like what Kayla was saying, like, there's freedom and peace that comes from that, because then you're no longer focused on the wrong things while you're doing it. And you can actually have joy while you're doing the work. Like, for so long, I feel like I didn't have joy while I was doing it. And I felt like I had to prove and force myself to do this work that I was created to do. And once I let go of that stigma and I actually laid that at the Lord's feet, and I was like, oh, like, I'm actually being kind of prideful by feeling like I have to prove myself and I have to be somebody to do this. It's like, no, the whole point of the gospel is that we're all nobodies, and that's why Jesus is so good. Like, right. But yeah, anyways, that was my side tangent, my side tangent rant. Okay, so this is one
question that I feel like I know I really struggled with my freshman year, but also I feel like so many people are always asking this, not even just in college, but in general, is how to make good Christian friends.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I feel like genuinely I found such a solid Christian community once I came to North Central, but that took time. Like, I don't think I genuinely felt like I had solid Christian friends here more until my sophomore year. And I guess the first things I would think of is, don't expect it to happen right away. Yes. Don't expect the first friends that you make at your Christian school or your church or whatever to end up being your lifelong best friends. Like, it's okay if a friendship is seasonal. It's okay if it only lasts for a little bit. Like, don't put so much pressure on a friendship until you've, like, to make it work, unless you realize, like, is this something worth really fighting for? That's just a preface, because when you come to college, you're going to meet so many different people. And so don't get so hung up on trying to make the person you meet on your first day your best friend forever. If that works out, that's awesome. Praise God. That doesn't always happen, though, and that's just the reality of it. And it's okay if you're only friends with them for freshman year, or you're only friends with them during junior year or whatever. Like, that's also okay. The other thing I would say, and this is what I kind of had to work through, was just being open to be friends with people that you wouldn't expect, which sounds so generic and whatever, put on a Hobby Lobby sign. But I will say, though, because I am from the East Coast and then I came to Minnesota. Minnesota's not the East Coast.
That's a really good observation.
Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out if anyone was confused. So it's very different. And I know I struggled my freshman year kind of just internally judging a lot of people of just like, you're weird, or I don't think we would vibe, or oh, you're so this, you're so that. And I'm just like making these assumptions about these people. Because I was like, well, this is how I am, so I want a friend that's going to be just like that or whatever. And I think I had to like get over myself and what I thought I should find in a friend. And then realizing befriending people that are from all sorts of different states and all sorts of parts of the country, with all drastically different personalities. I am such a better person because my community is full of people that aren't exactly like me. Like, we may not be the same ethnicity, we may not be the same age, we may not come from the same background, but genuinely surrounding yourself with the people, like, if they're solid Christians, you got to kind of get over that maybe they're quirky. Maybe, no offense, maybe they were homeschooled. You got to get over that. Maybe it's just me because I'm from the East Coast and I had some, I don't know. I was judgmental. The Lord worked on my heart. But you know what I'm saying? We just come in and we think, oh, I come from this context and this is what we believe about those types of people. Whoever you have made the other and those types of people, you should probably befriend them. Whoever you were raised to treat as just another, a whole other category of type of person, that's probably who you should befriend, because you need to grow in that way and not just be surrounded by people that think exactly like you. And I have plenty of friendships where we don't always see eye to eye on things and all of our beliefs, but because we do have a solid Christian background, solid relationship with the Lord, it's okay, and our relationship can still be really fruitful. We can still be vulnerable with each other, even if we don't see eye to eye on every situation. And I think kind of opening yourself up, that is one of the beauties of the Christian community, is we're actually not supposed to find friends that are exactly like us. We're not supposed to be a part of a community where every single person looks like us, makes the same amount of money, comes from the same background, has the same exact story. That's not what the church is about. The church is about bringing together the rich and the poor, people from all sorts of different nations, intergenerational. We got the old people and the little kids together. Like, the church is supposed to bring together all the people in every diverse way and fashion. And because of Christ, we find friendship and relationship and community with one another. And that's one of the beauties of being a Christian. But we have to get over ourselves and who we think is worthy of being our friend, or who's cool or whatever, and just genuinely be open to befriending whoever is in this community. Yeah. And I feel like it would surprise some people, because I feel like a lot of us would say that we would be friends with anyone. And I would genuinely challenge you to, like, actually think about that. Yeah. Would you actually be friends with that person that, like, sits behind you in class? Would you actually be friends with the person you've like passed by in the calf all the time, or the person that you've ruled out as being weird or whatever? And there's people that I never thought I would talk to because they seem so drastically different from me, that now, having graduated, ended up becoming friends with them. Yeah. And they're some of the funniest people I know, yes, some of the most caring people I know, intelligent, yeah, people I know, wise, all of that. And I had to get over myself so I could actually find a, you know, genuine friendship and actually do what we're supposed to do as Christians and finding community as the church.
Yeah, I think what you said about not expecting you to get friends right away is so obvious. Like, but then you're there and you expect it. Because, I mean, I heard people kind of give me advice like that. I was like, totally, like, I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. And I feel like I didn't actually find my genuine friends until the beginning of my junior year of college. Yeah. Like, I had great friends up until that point. But I found, like, my, who I felt like were my people. Like, right, my rock friendships. Friendships where I'm like, yeah, you get me. You laugh with me. You cry with me. But you also, like, call me out when I'm being stupid. Like, those kind of friendships didn't come until my third year of college. And I remember, like, having this really high expectation that, like, people would think I was really cool. And I was like, yeah, like, people are totally gonna want to be my friend. I'm being so honest. That's what I came into freshman year like.
No, it's real.
And then I was just really disappointed because I was like, oh, like, I made good friends freshman year. I had a lot of great memories with a lot of great friends. And people that I'm still really close friends with to this day. But I remember at the same time, like, feeling like I was really lonely and, yeah, really struggling. So I'd say, like, also, I'll say this. I feel like there's such an unhealthy stigma, if you will, to, like, the idea of Christian friendships. Like, people, like, idolize almost having, like, that Christian friend group, which is so unrealistic. Like, Kaylee and I, like, she's one of my best friends ever, and we just became roommates in September. Like, we kind of talked here and there, and now we're, like, husband and wife, frankly. Like, covenant. That's how... Right.
We are in covenant.
We are. Covenant is awesome. But we'd be, like, attached at the hip, but, like... What was I gonna say? Shoot. Oh.
Covenant.
Covenant. That's covenant. What it was. But, it's not, like,
that typical Christian friend group where, like, you meet and then you're all hanging out and you're all doing, yeah, Bible studies and you're all, like, the cutie girlies and you're, like, all dressing up. And, like, I'm not hating on the people that do that. Like, right, God bless you. That's respect. Amazing. But that's unrealistic. Yes. And I think when we come into it with that expectation, we get so butt hurt because it's like, where's my friend group? It's like, sometimes your friend group is actually just one friend who sticks with you through a really hard season, mm-hmm, and then another friend who comes in your next, yeah, season of life. Like, I think that's the hardest lesson I had to learn, was that, not that friendships aren't forever, because even though Kaylee's moving away, like, I know she's a forever friend, but a lot of the times they come and go in seasons.
Yeah.
Like, I've had some really close friendships that lasted, like, my freshman year, and then some really close friendships that lasted sophomore year and junior year, and probably the same thing for next year. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say, like, don't, not that you shouldn't go in with high expectations, but don't go into the point where you really disappoint yourself because you're having an unrealistic expectation of how it should go. And then you're, like, missing out, right, on enjoying the good friendships because you're so caught up in having this, like, big friend group when, like, God's actually just blessing you with one person that's, like, your rock.
Right. Period. I'd also say pray, prepare your heart. Like, ask the Lord to soften your heart, to be open to meeting new people, and, like, whatever you may need to work on to be able to be, you also be a healthy friend.
Yeah.
Like, prepare yourself through prayer. Like, you can never underestimate that.
So good.
What would you say helped you to stay faithful to God in college when it got hard?
Oh, yeah. That's a good, yeah, one. That's got some kick. I would say something that really helped me, which goes off of the last question, is my community and the people that I found here. Yeah. Because I will say, like, I come from a Christian home. I'm generally, like, a really disciplined person, like, when it comes to habits and just doing things on a regular basis. But there were a lot of like major life changes that happened over the course of just my 4 years in college. And I did not realize how valuable being in a strong Christian community meant until I was losing my mind over some of the stuff I was walking through. And to have a community that would come around me and love on me. And even though, and at the same time, we talked about this, like, I've struggled with striving and trying to prove myself and all of that. To have people that would love me when I could not get out of bed, that would show up with food, coffee, that would genuinely cared about just me, Kaylee, not what I did or what I did for them or whatever, but just like me as a person. I think I was actually journaling about this and thinking about it a lot over the last couple of days as I'm saying goodbye to my very sweet community here, of the people that the Lord put in my life for these last 4 years. It literally just shows his intentionality. Yes. The relationships that happened, the way that people were able to love on me and relate to me in ways that I didn't think anyone would be able to empathize with me in. Like people like Lily, who has been, the ways in which our friendship, like, it's crazy. I don't think anyone except for us will ever be able to understand how much we've been able to understand each other in a very, very vulnerable way. And it's been healing for both of us. And I can't help but look at that and be like, wow, like, God, I felt your love because Lily's loved me. Like, and to have a community where I know that they prioritize their faithfulness to God, they're loving on God, they're trusting in him, they're all of that. And so on the days when it was really, really, really hard for me to do that and for me to keep showing up to God, to have a community that wasn't going to give up on me and wanted to see me through whatever season I was in, the way that they loved on me, that was God loving me through their hands. Like, Lily has been the hands and feet of Jesus in so many ways. The things that she has seen me walk through. And just for her to be the friend that she's been for this last year, like, that's God right there. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of being in Christian community, is the way in which we can love on other people is we're sharing God's love with one another. Like it says that in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. And so once we've received that love from God, we get to go and share that with other people, and we get to be that vessel of God's love is running through us into other people. And having a community that would do that for me, I think, motivated my faithfulness to the Lord in another level where I didn't feel alone. And I felt like I could have my weak days. I didn't always have to be strong, but I knew that I had a community that was praying for me, that was fighting for me, that was holding me accountable, calling me out, all of those things. And I was like, oh my goodness, I think I finally get the point of Christian community.
Oh my gosh, it's almost like I wasn't created to like do life alone, you know? Yeah, I honestly would say the same thing. I like when I first gave my life to the Lord, honestly, it was just me and Jesus. And I think that was a really intentional season. It was a lot of pruning and refining. But once I actually experienced Christian community, I was like, oh, this is how I was supposed to live. Like, how was I even surviving before? Just the level of accountability and refinement even that happens in a community is on a whole different level than it is when you're by yourself. Yeah. And honestly, like, I think this year was the hardest year that I've ever walked through. And I don't think I could have done it without Christian community, because I had people who were sitting with me when I was crying about the same thing for like the 20th time that day. And they'd just like listen like it was the first time and like pray with me like it was the first time. And I had people who, when I was healing from a lot of really intense things, like listen and love me, but also called me out when I was being bitter and when I was being angry, and to be like, Lily, like, yes, that is a valid emotion, but also like we're called to higher than that. Like, I hear you speaking from a place of a lot of bitterness, and like I would love to help you get to a point where you don't feel that way anymore. And just like having people who love you so much that they're able to call you out on that is such a beautiful thing. But also people, like Kaylee was saying, like, who love you so much that they just want to be with you and like walk with you through life. Like, oh man, who you choose like to let into your life in that way is so important. I've heard so many people say, like, the people that you choose to be around are the people that you become, mm-hmm. or that you will be. And honestly, like, that's so true. That's so true. And if you see people in college that you admire, do not shy away from going to ask them to be your friend. Because Kaylee was like a friend crush where I was like, man, she's like really cool. It'd be so awesome to be your friend, but it will probably never happen. Right. We lived together.
They were roommates. And
that's awesome. But honestly speaking, like, so many of my friendships I have now started off from them being a friend crush on both ends or one end, and then one of us reached out and got coffee or something. We're like, whoa, wait, you're actually really awesome. But anyways, I forgot what the main point and what the question was. Oh, staying faithful to God. Yeah.
Stay faithful to God.
Right. Yeah, community was a huge one to me because it's community who, like, reminds you of what's important also. Because there's times in life where, like, if we're being really honest, it's hard to choose God. And it's hard to continue to say yes to him and say yes to his plan when you're hurting and it doesn't make sense. But people in your life who are around you, who know your heart and know you well, are going to be able to be there to ground you and say, like, hey, I know that you're really struggling right now, but, like, God's actually got you through this. Like, he has a plan for you. And I know that you're struggling to spend time with him because you're mad at him, but, like, let's press in together, you know? And I'm going to shout out Kaylee because she rocks. But, like, Kaylee is, like, a huge reason that I feel like I am where I am today, because she is the friend that did do those things for me. Like, she sat with me through those things, and I'm not gonna cry. And she she would, like, encourage me and remind me of who I am when I felt like I had no idea who I was. And when other people were telling me that I was these things and I was these things, and maybe the ways that I was hurting were trying to tell me who I was, Kaylee was always there to remind me who I was. And having those people in your life, like, it changes everything. Like, I don't know what I would have done this year without Kaylee. Like, I don't think I would have been as faithful to the Lord. And I know that's a bold statement, but, like, that's why friends are so important. Yeah. Oh, I love you, Kaylee.
I love you.
How did you figure out what you wanted to do after college? Because I know, like, when I came in, I really wrestled with it, because I kind of came in with a very small amount of knowledge about what I wanted to do with my life and even who I was, yeah. honestly. And I feel like so many people, like, come to college and they wrestle with that, and then all throughout college it's something that they struggle with the whole time. It's like, I have to figure out what I have to do for the rest of my life. Right. Nah, nah, nah. So how did you, please, Kaylee, tell us how you figured this out?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, do I have it fully figured out? No. I just have the next step. And in about a year, I'll be halfway through my next program and I'll be back figuring out what I do after graduation. So stay tuned. But definitely, it's a lot of discernment with the Lord. But kind of a summary of my journey of long term, I feel called to being a pastor and hopefully also a professor. Those are kind of the two main goals. And yet I know that those may be the goals that just actually get me into more niche things that the Lord has for me. But when I was in high school, I honestly did not have any interest in going into ministry and that being what I wanted to do with my life. And this doesn't just apply to people that are interested, feel called to ministry. This could do with any vocation, because God calls us to a variety of different vocations that are in and outside of the church. But it wasn't that I had, like, all these other ideas of what I wanted to do with my life. But what it came down to was there was just needs in my community, at my school, at my church. And because of my background, especially being a pastor's kid, and my already involvement in, like, my youth group, I just had, like, a skill set and a comfortability with helping out with services or helping plan things or whatever. And I just felt like, oh, like, there's a need, I can meet it. Like, I was very much a Christian, and so I wanted to be like, if there's a need that I can meet, why shouldn't I just step up and do that? And it was through that process, by just doing the thing, that the Lord was like, this is what I've made you to do. And because I was kind of getting my feet wet in it, I was like, okay, like, I could see this working out. Like, I'll trust you one step at a time, you know. But I think I also just want to, if you're waiting for the lightning bolt moment, it may never come, because God does not always speak that way. Honestly, I feel like most of the time he doesn't. So if you're waiting for the audible voice of God to tell you what to do with your life, baby, you're going to be 85 and never know. So
maybe you're going to be 85.
Try. Just try things. And I think our generation really struggles with just trying because there's a fear of failure and da-da-da-da. I don't care if you fail. You shouldn't care if you fail. Right. You should care that you don't spend your life never accomplishing anything. That's right. The more scary option than failure. Right. You have to fail to actually ever win and get better at anything. Like, it's time to fail.
Right.
It's time for you to fail so that you actually do something and you try the thing. And so I was just trying the thing. And so through that process, it kind of helped me to discern what avenue and what the Lord specifically had for me. And what it's really, the specific thing I know I'm supposed to do with my life is to preach. That's the main thing. I would have never figured that out if I hadn't said yes to doing small little 5-minute sermons in my youth group, which seems so small when I was 16. And yet that was a foundational like building block that the Lord was placing in my life that is now leading me to actually pursuing this full time. But anyways, that's part of it, of just try the thing.
Yeah.
And then when it came down to now I'm in college and discerning more, learning more of like, what do I want to do with my life? I remember my junior year, it was like first semester, I had a really amazing opportunity to go to this conference, and it's for basically all the Bible scholars, like all the people that I've been reading for years and will continue to read, like they pull up to this conference. Okay, one day I'm gonna be there, one day I will be presenting one of my papers there. Okay, but I was just a wide-eyed little undergrad student, like holy cow, like my mind was just blown. And I felt like the Lord, one of those nights I was in my hotel room and he was like, I want you to dream like this. I want you to dream what's the craziest thing you could dream, and then I want you to try to do it. And I feel like that's what the Lord was challenging me with. Like, don't settle. Don't try to come up with your own comfortable plan. Like, genuinely, like, dream something up. And so that led me to, like, okay, like, I'm going to apply to grad school, and I'm going to apply to, like, really hard schools and just see where I get in. Because what I was balancing and thinking through is, like, do I go and start working at a church as a pastor? Or do I go to grad school and keep doing school, get my master's, figure out what comes after that then? And I was getting really bogged down by like which one I should do. And I felt like the Lord really released me from feeling like there was a specific order that had to happen. Because I think we sometimes get really, really caught up in what is the thing that I'm going to do like the month after I graduate college. It's okay if you never actually, if you don't get to that till a couple years later.
Right.
There doesn't always have to be this specific order. And I feel like the Lord was like, it's okay if you like go to grad school right after and then pastor. It's okay if you start pastoring and then go to grad school later. And the Lord does give us room to choose sometimes. And I think sometimes we just want him to make the decision for us because that's so much easier.
Right.
But there comes a point, and this is one of my soapboxes lately, is that if you are genuinely maturing in Christ and you're being conformed to the mind of Christ, you should be able to exercise that wisdom in making choices that honor the Lord.
Yes.
Where you do not need God to strike you with a lightning bolt.
Yep.
And give you some crazy revelation for you to be able to exercise what you should be reaping from time spent with him. Spending time with the Lord, conforming to the mind of Christ, that becomes the nature in which we live in. And so then we should be able to make choices that honor the Lord because we've been spending time with him to learn that. And so I feel like God was at a point where he's like, you've matured a lot. I still have a lot more to mature in, but I've matured a lot more, especially from like when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
Like there's room for you to choose between these good things. And so I said, okay, like I just made all the preparations. I went through a licensing process so that I could start working as a pastor. I sent out the grad school applications and then I just sat and waited for like a couple months with no answer as to which one would happen. And I think we just have to just give yourself the freedom that there's not a specific order. It's okay if the really cool idea doesn't happen right away. You have the rest of your life
yep.
to still do that. The average yep. person is going to work to their mid-60s, sometimes early 70s. You graduate college at 22 on average.
Yep.
You have like 40 years. I've never even lived 40 years. That's twice what I've already done. I got to do that 2 more times. There's plenty of time to do all these things the Lord has for me. So just be freed from having to do things right after graduation. And also, it is cool to accomplish things while you're young. But it doesn't necessarily have to lose any value because you might do it when you're a little bit older. It's okay. And so I think just I had to free myself from all these mental things of like, which one do I do first? I have to accomplish it as young as possible. I have to da da da. And that's where those like shoulds needed to become coulds. And being released from that, I feel like then the Lord was like, okay, let me open a door. And he opened a really amazing door. And I get to go get my master's at Princeton Seminary. And I'm so excited.
One thing that was said to me in a class that Kaylee and I actually took together was Women in Ministry. That class honestly shaped my life so much. That class gave me so much like healing for this like idea that I had for my life. It like gave me peace because I feel like so many times people in college are like, I have to know what I'm gonna do. I have to have the right degree so I do the right line of work because like that's what we're told and that's what makes sense in our head. But realistically, like God can use anything, and wherever he wants to place you, he's going to place you. Like regardless of a degree, you could get a degree in ministry and then he could have you own a business, or vice versa. You could get a business degree and he could have you being a pastor of a church. Like God isn't limited by your degree or what you do for work. And that was something that gave me a lot of healing, but also like kind of what Kaylee was saying, like we have so much more to our lives than I think we realize. Like that's a hard pill to swallow that we have like 40 more years of work. Like that sounds like so long. But I think like freeing yourself from that mindset of like you have to know what you're gonna do, as in like you're gonna be doing it for the rest of your life. So many people that I know have not been doing the same thing for their whole life.
Yeah.
They have not been doing the same thing for 40 years. Like, it's okay if you don't have it figured out. It's okay if you're working at a coffee shop after you graduate and you don't have that big girl dream job that you want. Like, some people get there earlier. Great. That was God's plan for them. Like, sometimes we have to wait longer for things that God has for us. But you just have to trust that, like, he knows best. He has the plan for your life ordained. He knows the best timing. He knows when to give and when to take away. And like freeing yourself from that mindset of like having to figure it out, because I definitely came into North Central. All I knew was that I like kind of liked graphic design and that was it. So I wanted to be a marketing major because I took one class in high school and it was kind of fun. So I was like, perfect. I'll just do marketing.
That's crazy.
And the Lord has shaped me so much in 3 years. And now I know what I'm passionate about and I know what I want to do with my life. But at the same time, like, I have no idea where I'm going to go after college or what I'm going to be doing or what line of work the Lord's going to have for me. And so honestly, just like take it day by day, take it step by step, like, and just trust the Lord along the way and he'll open the doors. But then he also gives you wisdom to like take steps of faith and open doors too. Like I, like what Kaylee was saying, I genuinely believe like if you're really walking hand in hand with the Lord, like there's no wrong step you can make, because even if you take a step that he doesn't want you to be in, like, he'll make that so clear. He'll make it clear. Like, if he doesn't want you somewhere, he'll take you out. He has authority. He has power. And so one thing I would even recommend praying is that God would open doors that no man can shut. Once I started praying that prayer in my life, a lot of really crazy things started happening. And I feel like I had more wisdom and discernment for decisions I was making too, because I was asking God to open doors for me that he wanted to open.
Something else that I've been learning in my relationship with the Lord is I kind of came to a point in my prayer life where I felt like God was like, stop praying about yourself, which might sound wild because obviously, like, yes, there are things that I need to pray about in my own life, but getting so wrapped up in like, what's my future look like? What's my calling supposed to be like? Who am I supposed to be with? All these things about me. And I feel like the Lord has really been stretching me over this last year of like, pray for the world. Pray for the city you live in. Pray for like the bigger creative plan that God has for creation, and be like released. We kind of talked about this of like, yeah, there's probably a specific thing the Lord has for you to do with your life. But just in general, if you call yourself a Christ follower, you are called to make other disciples. You are called to live a servant lifestyle like Jesus. You are called to be a steward of creation. You are called to live a life that is worthy of this amazing opportunity we get to have, be in relationship with God. there are just these general callings that we all share as Christians. And I think to actually dive into that and to rest into that and learn what that looks like and to learn how to pray for things that are beyond just my individual life, I feel like I've found a new joy and in like enjoyment in my relationship with the Lord. Because it's a part of that we've kind of talked about also, like taking the eyes off of yourself. And like all of your prayers don't actually have to be about you. It can be bigger. And I think in praying for the world, in praying for your community, for wherever you are, the Lord will start to highlight to you maybe specific needs or whatever. Yeah. And he may start to bring those things up to your heart. And that might be where your calling lies in. And you still may figure out where you specifically are supposed to go. But we're not going to start with the mindset of like, I need to figure out my calling. Mm-hmm. No, Lord, like as someone who follows you and loves you, I love your creation. I love your people. My heart truly breaks for them. And out of that place, I'm praying for them. But the Lord will use that. So often he uses that to then highlight the things that then he wants you to be the answer to that prayer too.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so everything that was said, what's your like biggest takeaway piece of advice? If you had to just like say one thing to someone who's about to go to college, what would you say?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, you can think about it.
Okay.
I'll say mine while Kaylee thinks. So one thing I would say to someone who is going into college, prioritize the secret place with Jesus, but not for your benefit, just to rather sit and get to know him. Because that wasn't something that I honestly started doing until this year. And once I sat with the Lord out of a place of just wanting to be with him and wanting to learn more about him and who he is and what he does and how he lives and how he loves, it changed me. Like, and I feel like I got to a place where I was like, man, like, I was missing out on this guy all these years. Like, God's really this awesome. And it almost naturally, like, gives you the things that you're praying for. Like, if you're praying for peace or you're praying for joy or you're praying for all of these other things, a lot of the time it comes naturally when you're just sitting in awe of the Lord. And that's something that I wish I would have incorporated into my college years a lot earlier, was just that reverence and awe of that comes from just sitting with God and learning who he is, because that carried me through this year. So I really wish I would have incorporated that earlier. So needless to say, regardless of everything that was said, I'd say just prioritize starting to just sit with God, just to sit with him and just to learn more about who he is, rather than coming to him with other things, which that's okay too, because I still do that and that's important. But yes, that's what I would say.
I would say become a lifelong learner in all regards, because you're coming to college. College is a lot of things. At the end of the day, there is homework you have to do because you're trying to get an academic degree. That is the point of college. And college isn't for everyone. That's honestly so true. So we need to talk about that too. But just, I would say for everybody, no matter what your experience with school has been and whatever connotation you have to the word learning, become a lifelong learner of scripture, of the Lord, of other people, of yourself, of your community, of the world. Like, never lose a hunger to just learn and to listen. Because I think a lot of times we see in our culture people assuming that they know everything and can therefore come to this conclusion, and anyone who doesn't agree is wrong. Imagine if we could just be learners and we were willing to listen. You don't always have to agree, but I still have something to learn from the person I differ from in every single way. I still have something to learn from the person who we do not align in any regards, like with our beliefs. I still have something to learn from you. I still have a reason, like, you are still worthy of me listening to you and your story and your reasoning and all of that. And I think just in general, to use college as that time to learn how to learn. You're going to be doing it academically. You're going to be doing it as you're surrounded by all these people that you've never known before that are coming from a variety of different backgrounds. You're going to learn a lot about yourself just through different circumstances, relationships, friendships. Always stay in a posture of learning. And that's what being a disciple is a student of Christ. You're always learning. And I think for us to take that posture with just life in general, I think would be so healing, and would free us from feeling like we have to have all the answers. I don't. I'm just still learning. Yeah. We're all doing life for the first time. We're all learning it together. And so to let college kind of build that foundation of I'm here to listen, I'm here to learn in all regards of life.
Amen. That's so good. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. After a year of talking about being on the podcast, we finally did it. It still counts because we did do it once before she left. But I'm going to be linking all of Kaylee's socials. So y'all need to follow her because she's awesome and she rocks. And she posts me sometimes too. So, you know, if, yeah. Anyways, do you want to pray us out?
Okay. Bow your head. Close your eyes. What?
Not if you're driving.
If you are driving, keep your eyes on the road.
Right.
Don't be like Lily.
Oh!
And that, my friends, is having a friend who is calling you out lovingly. You know, it's, yeah.
All in love. I just want you to live. I just want you to make it home.
Yep.
Baby, come back. Anyways, let's pray. Bow your head, close your eyes, fold your hands, crisscross applesauce. Okay. Okay. Sweet Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for what you are doing in all of our hearts. God, we pray just for everyone that listens to this, for me and Lily. God, would all the lessons that you teach us throughout these college years just sink deep into our hearts? Would you use this season of our life to be really foundational for everything that comes next? God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to go and get an education, to pursue something that we're passionate about. But Lord, would we never prioritize anything above you? Let it be a relationship, a goal, a friendship, just being busy. God, would you always remain our number one priority? Lord, would you free us from all the things that are telling us that we need to be this, we need to be that, we need to prove ourselves, we need to have this many friends. Anything that's telling us that we need to do X, Y, or Z so that we become better, more worthy, whatever it is. Lord, would you just silence all of those, and would your voice be the most clear, God? Would you tune our hearts and our ears to truly hear you? God, we thank you for this season. We thank you for all that we get to reap out of it. And Lord, we're excited to see how you are going to use these college years in all of our lives, God, to launch us into the rest of our lives and everything you have for us as we step into careers, we step into being parents and spouses and all that our futures will hold, God. And most of all, as this will lay a foundation for our walk with you and being a lifelong disciple and a lifelong learner. God, we love you and we thank you for everything you've done and everything you continue to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.